This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds. And find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
It is time to analyze what happened at the NHL trade deadline from an NHL betting lens. Hello and welcome to another NHL Action Network collaboration. Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Great to be with you as always. Bet365, always bringing the goods here for the show. And we got a great guest looking at all these different angles from betting wise, like not only the single game, but the futures lens, and also the props are locked and loaded right now too.
Yeah, so much to dissect, and happy to bring in the one and only Michael Leboff from Line Change and the Action Network. What's going on, Leboff?
Not too much. Yeah, pretty happy to be over that hump in the with the trade deadline. So now we're focused fully on the stretch. It should be fun. A lot of good races going on. I think still a lot of time for things to change, and that makes for some pretty good betting conversations to have.
Let's start with Vegas. You want to talk about betting. I know they got to make the postseason. Pretty decent start. I know against Seattle, wacky, chaotic. I was on the Golden Knights in that game. I was losing my mind there in the third period, a three-goal run for the Kraken, but Eichel scores an OT. What'd you make of that deadline? Hanifin, Mantha, and how about Tomas Hertl too, eh?
Yeah, I actually thought when they traded for Mantha, if that was all that they did, I would have been, you know, pretty pleased if I was a Golden Knights fan. I think that's a player that makes a pretty big difference. I had some conversations with people saying that before he got traded, that like that's the kind of trade that seems to always work. We look back on after the playoffs on the deadline, we're like, well, that's the Ivan Barbashev or the Michael Kempney trade, etc. So I thought the Mantha trade was quite shrewd. And then, of course, they keep going as they always do. And yeah, they're an interesting case here because of where they are in the standings and the path. And that's something that's so important when you're looking at futures, the futures market right before, you know, the stretch or at the top of the stretch run towards the playoffs, is you got to think about where this team is most likely to land and who they're going to have to go through to get to even the second round or the third round before we even talk about the Stanley Cup final. And for Vegas, punching in that wild card race right now it makes it kind of interesting, because you could argue they'd much rather finish in a wild card spot than finish third in the Pacific and play the Oilers. And whether the market kind of catches up on that is interesting, because if let's say Vegas's number holds from now until round one of the playoffs and they're not taking on the Oilers in round one, I think it becomes much more appealing as a play right before the playoffs start. But if they're playing the Oilers, I think that then becomes a pretty big problem for Vegas. So they're definitely a wait and see for me. The numbers did drift a bit during this little bit of a lull, but I think you can also chalk that up to that this team, you know, it's kind of like score effects in a game. When you're up 3-0 or 4-0, you're going to sit back a bit. And I think with the start Vegas had and knowing how much hockey they've played over the past couple of years and some guys being banged up, that they could afford to pace themselves a bit. So buying low on them after that lull was certainly a good move if you did it. But now I think you can afford to wait and see just how that path is going to settle for them.
And in terms of their odds, plus 950, Mike, on Bet365, that's seventh on the odds board pecking order for the Stanley Cup futures standpoint. Do you think that the impending return of Tomas Hertl, it sounds like in as little as 2 weeks. I don't know if it's going to be that quick. A lot of people are talking playoffs. We know that Stone returned for game one of last postseason and the rest was history, and he had the Hattie and the clinching game and everything like that. Is the current price baking in the fact that these guys are likely to return at some point? And if so, how are you approaching it? Are you buying on them now? Are you waiting and seeing what kind of, you know, business they get themselves into if they're falling behind at all in the coming months?
Yeah, it probably is baked into it. I think that number is probably fair. What sticks out to me most about that number is that you said it right there at Bet365. They're the seventh favorite on the board at plus 950. The favorite is 6-1. The co-favorites, I guess, with Florida and Edmonton at 6-1. So that means that there are If you look at it now, between 6-1 and 12-1, you've got 10 teams, and then the Leafs are 16-1, so it's not too far back either.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is something I said before the season. I thought that this year was gonna turn into a bit of a Kentucky Derby, where you're gonna be, you know, everyone's gonna be, you're gonna be able to make a case for a plenty of horses in a deep field, but there's not gonna be one where. It's pretty rare in the Derby that you have like an odds on favorite or clear consensus favorite. And that's how I view this field. So that also, you know, kind of leans into, if you do like Vegas at plus 950, there's reason, you know, you have a reason to argue right there. It's that, oh yeah, this is a beatable field and they're a team that's done it before. And they're going to only get better with Hurdle and perhaps Stone coming back and getting guys like Hanifin and Mantha acclimated, Jack Eichel just getting more games under his belt, the way that Marchessault is going as well. And, you know, the goaltending has to stabilize a little bit between now and the playoffs starting. That's a little concerning, but you can pick any one of these teams and make a really strong case. And the number one bullet point on that case is, well, this is a beatable field.
Let's take this further then. How does this impact the way you would bet Vancouver and Dallas, the two teams who could potentially take on Vegas out of all matchups in the first round? I mean, that's crazy. It just shows you the parity in this league right now.
Yeah. Dallas, we've been talking about them, and we're not the only ones on line changes as a bona fide Stanley Cup contender all season. They've certainly showed it. They've got better with their trades before the deadline, with Stankoven coming back. What their goaltending has to stabilize too between now and the playoffs, but I feel pretty confident that it does with the way that Jake Oettinger has played in his career, and also the way that they defend. So I think that Dallas still, you can definitely make a solid argument for them to be up there with Colorado, Edmonton, and as one of the favorites in the Western Conference. Vancouver to me is you missed the number on it considerably, obviously, right? Like you're just not gonna find value on a team that's now shorter than 10-1, considering where they came into the season at. But they are a team that I think could get completely disrespected in round one of the playoffs, even as a favorite. So we saw this with Vegas last year, right? Like I came on the show in our playoff preview, and we talked about it a lot, stumping for the Winnipeg Jets against the Golden Knights, saying that this is a paper tiger. The Jets have the goaltending edge. They can punch up pretty well. And the market agreed with me that the Jets shortened considerably on the series price before game one. The Jets win game one, but you know the rest was certainly history with the way Vegas comes back. So I think we could see whoever plays Vancouver becoming such a trendy upset pick that you can go the other way, depending, you know, whether it's Nashville, whether it's Los Angeles or Vegas, whoever. That's one thing I would circle with Vancouver ahead of game one. Of course, a lot of this, you know, you're not betting Vancouver right now with the Demko status being as uncertain as it is as well.
Right, and Demko's week to week, like you alluded to, so that's certainly a concern. He's been a playoff stud in the past, but got to be healthy at the right time to even have a chance. When you look at the moves that Edmonton made to get Henrique, I know he's been quiet so far, and also the move that Colorado made. I know they made a few for Walker and Mittelstadt, but I really like the Mittelstadt one to solidify the number two center hole. He scored a goal in his second game, a nice one on Tuesday night against Calgary. Which team's move do you like better? I know that you're pretty high on the Avalanche. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, and it shows you how a trade deadline, we always talk about how the market can overreact to trades. We saw it last year, especially with the Patrick Kane trade. But it happens every year. People kind of make a big fuss. But then there are also some moves that the reaction is warranted. And I think what Colorado did took them from a team that was a flawed contender to one that is absolutely needs to be taken seriously now. They filled a huge hole, that number two center line. I think Mittelstadt can thrive with that supporting cast. And, you know, they give up Bowen Byram, who was lights out for them during their cup run, has a pretty good career ahead of himself, but just something wasn't working with him this year, whether the team was kind of just getting fed up with the injuries and the constant in and out of the lineup, whatever it was. So I think that they traded from a position of strength, right? They already had Makar and Taves and Sam Girard, so they don't need it's not like they desperately needed another defenseman of that mold. But they ended up replacing him anyways with Sean Walker, and if he shows as well as he did in Philly, I think this Avalanche team really took a significant step, which is saying something when you consider where they were stepping from, right? They weren't stepping from an outsider to a team that's now like a good playoff team. They went from being a a team a lot of people thought was a contender to now everybody's taking notice. So yeah, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, those teams, man, that this is a really strong Western Conference we're looking at.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's so many powerhouses in the West that people sort of forget about that Winnipeg Jets team. Sean Monahan, that ad at the All-Star Weekend, and they pick up Tyler Toffoli out of nowhere. I love that shot prop. Pete loves it as well. I'm sure you do too. I know the number's a bit juiced now at 3.5. But Canadian team hasn't won the Cup since 1993. What do you like about Winnipeg, and what way would you bet them down the stretch here?
Yeah, the Jets, they're sneaky, right? Like we'll see if they don't get that number one spot, it becomes really perilous, because of that. You know, they'll have to take on Dallas or Colorado. So, while they'll still be dangerous, I don't know if I want to bet them until we kind of know where they're going to end up. But I think that also makes them dangerous going down the stretch here, because they're going to be scrapping. They know where they are in the standings. They know what their best. Giving themselves the best chance to make a run in the playoffs requires them winning the Central and avoiding Dallas or Colorado in round one, and also allowing those two teams to play each other. Right, that means you only have to go through one of them to get through to the Western Conference Final, and at that point, it's all gravy. And if you get the Jets there, you're feeling pretty good about your ticket regardless. So I think that the Jets are going to be a bet on team down the stretch. As they try to claw their way up, and with the goaltending and the way that they've gone and consistently, like, they've answered some pretty big questions. Like when they had that lull a few weeks ago in January, they've responded really well to that. And as you said, they're not really getting much attention because of what's going on around them. But the addition of Toffoli addressed their biggest weakness, which is they just didn't have that third or fourth reliable scorer. If Connor and Scheifele and Ehlers are going quiet, now you got another guy there who you can pretty much pencil in a goal every other game for him. And he's very good at that playoff style hockey where space is limited. So the Jets, the number's not there. I can kind of see the argument as well, being that the chips can kind of just fall as they may with the way that this Western Conference is going to shape up. But for me, I think I would just much rather bet them, down the stretch, and especially when they're underdogs, if they're playing Colorado or Edmonton or Vancouver, etc., because this is a team that still profiles as a good underdog.
And reminder, you can bet on a Canadian team to win the Cup on Bet365 plus 240. So that has the umbrella on everybody, the Jets, the Oilers, the Canucks, who are maybe capable of winning multiple rounds depending on who they play. And then, the Maple Leafs that won their first playoff series in forever last year and are dangerous. Even if you're going to count them out, they're dangerous to win any round. So that's an interesting thing. And you also can't get too high. I'm curious to see how these teams look a month from now, right? You can't get too high on anybody in the West. Even Colorado, they have, I think, 31 of their 41 wins this year have come by multiple goals. So that's puck line city this season. But you can't forget last year they lost in the first round to the Kraken and shocked everybody.
Yeah, and that depth, is what bit them, right? Like the Kraken were able to roll four lines, and if they could survive against the top line, they could make do damage against lines 2, 3, and 4. And I think that the middle stat addition should address that. So that's what makes them a little bit more dangerous. But like, that's what you said it perfectly. It feels like the season is over because we look at it as like hockey checkpoints, right? You get Thanksgiving Day and then the Christmas break and then the All-Star break and then the trade deadline. And then it's the playoffs start. So if you look at it like that, you're like, oh, we're past the final checkpoint before the playoffs. And in reality, every team's got, 18 to 22 games left, depending on how many they've already played. So that's so much time. Like, you think about the first 20 games of the season, the Hurricanes struggled. Everyone was wondering if they were going to even make a playoff push, and that looks stupid now. And the Rangers were 17-4-1 through their first 20-something games. So they can obviously put together, or teams can put together runs like that. The Panthers weren't really lighting the world on fire, but they were kind of stalking, and then they got hot. The Bruins were red hot, then they've come back down to earth. So much changes in a in a quarter of a season. So we'll be having a very different conversation than the one we're having right now. I mean, the most striking example of this is the Oilers, right? Like, if we think back to what we were talking about with this team, it was like alarm bells ringing, and we're like, we should have known. We did know, but it was going on for so long that we're like, what is this actually going to happen? And clearly not.
Yeah, and I mean, it helps when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl
right.
pull them out, and they're getting saves too, I think, which is a theme around this league. I really like what Carolina did, like the Kuznetsov pickup. You know, Anderson's back. They pick up Jake Guentzel, who I didn't even know the guy was close to returning. All of a sudden, he shows up. He plays on Tuesday. But what's a way to bet the Carolina Hurricanes? Because, again, we all talk about the Western Conference. There are some pretty good teams in the Eastern Conference too.
Yeah, I think I'd much rather bet into the East than the West because of just that the path is going to be so much easier for some of these teams. And Carolina's number, you came into the season around this number. They're hanging around here. It really hasn't ping-ponged much. So I still think if you were one of those people who thought, you know, who picked the Hurricanes in to win on October 1st, you still feel pretty good about that bet now. It's the East is basically going to come down to can you beat whoever, you know, whoever the form team is, and you'd feel confident that it's probably going to be the Panthers in the Atlantic bracket. But the Metro bracket, I think, is a lot more open than that. So it's, yeah, Carolina to me, if you were to ask me to pick one of the favorites here, looking at the odds, like coming in at still a double-digit number, behind the Rangers. I know they just lost to the Rangers, but behind a team like Vegas, who, like I said, the path is pretty tough. Colorado, Dallas, another tougher path, Vancouver especially. Like I'd much rather take Carolina than any of the teams ahead of them on the board at the current price.
Yeah, I like Carolina to win the cup. I think that they're as long as those guys are healthy, Freddie and Svechnikov and Kuznetsov reclamation project and Guentzel's a playoff performer. It's a really safe floor that team has, especially, I mean, they did lose to the Rangers, and I wanted to touch on the Rangers a little bit. A lot of people are talking about them as fool's gold, but I mean, if you're 10-1 on the second of back-to-back and you've had some of the defining wins that they've had at different points in the season, and I think that 1-0 win against the Hurricanes was another one of them, you have to take them seriously as a cup contender, and they did take a way different stance to what they did last year, but you never know how something like that could work out for them, Mike.
Yeah, the Rangers, you know, they, if you look at predictive metrics and you're looking at their 5-on-5 numbers, you're saying to yourself, this team is screaming regression, right? Like they should come back down to earth. They're 14-2-1 in their last 17, but their save percentage in that span is 940. They've only allowed 32 goals in that span, and five of them came in that crazy win against the Islanders outdoors. So there are some things here that tell you that this is a little bit smoke and mirrors, but they're also built in a way that they're, I don't want to say regression proof, but they can kind of handle if, let's say, Igor Shesterkin comes back down to earth a bit and isn't posting, you know, 940 and shutting the team out every other start. Like their shooting percentage can easily tick up because of the way that they create plays and their playmakers and their finishers, and their power play could also rescue them if they're getting pummeled at 5-on-5. They could go down like 35-20 in shot attempts or shots on goal at 5-on-5, but they get 4 on the power play and 3 of those can go in, and all that hard work that you did to beat them at 5-on-5 comes undone. They also have a good penalty kill. So yeah, the Rangers, it's funny to think that, like, I don't think that they have any value at the number that they're sitting at, right? They're the fifth favorite. They're plus 850. I think most people who are betting into those numbers would agree with me. That said, they'd all do the same thing, say the same thing I'm saying, which is like you got to be wary of it. You don't want to just discount them because their numbers aren't going, because this is what they do. This is what they've been doing for years, just winning along the edges with the goaltending and the special teams and winning the big moments and being clinical. Like, how many times over the years have we seen the Rangers down, you know, 2-1 in the third or 3-2 in the third with 6 minutes left? They get a power play and you just know that they're going to score because that's their MO as a team. So not something I want to bet at all, but something if my ticket was riding, like if I had bet Carolina and they're playing the Rangers in the second round or something, I would be a little nervous just because of the way that team is built.
It's a little ridiculous too, Nick. I know Rempe got suspended 4 games since we last talked, but it's like that's an X factor for the playoffs. Maybe it'll backfire if he gets suspended again or he gets in some fights and Ranger guys are in the box at the wrong time, but like it's crazy we're even talking about something like that catapulting a team. But when you sit back and look at the eye test and how that team has performed since that guy entered the lineup, it's like an actual factor here, even though he's a fourth line rookie.
Yeah, the margin for error is razor thin in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Discipline's big. I like to throw out regular season statistics out the window. Like every year we talk about these juggernaut power plays. It gets to the postseason. They get like one peeper a game. They do nothing with it. They lose the game. So that's definitely going to affect the way I bet down the stretch. To an extent, I believe in the Rangers. I still think other teams in that conference can beat them. I wanted to get to some of the juicy stuff as well, Leboff, in terms of the playoff race in the Eastern Conference. I know Pete's going to probably touch on Buffalo. Detroit is reeling big time right now. The Islanders, as you guys know, have won 6 of 7, 10-6-3 under Patrick Waugh. But I want to touch on New Jersey and how to bet that team down the stretch. They actually have a goalie, not one but two now, right?
Man, I don't know what to do with this team. It's I think if you have made money betting on the Devils this season, I'd love to hear, you know, I'd love to talk about it, because they've been so hard to gauge. There've been a bunch of games where you watch them and you're like, "What? Where's the team that was there 5 minutes ago?" It's so hard to figure out, because you'd expect them, like that game against the Rangers was such a perfect example. Like, we know that they're very much a long shot to get into the playoffs at this point, and even before that game they were. But this is a team that, you know, is your biggest rival. The game before, Rempe plastered Nathan Bastian. You'd expect them, you know, he obviously has that dirty hit against Jonas Siegenthaler in the middle of the game. You'd expect some sort of response, and it never came. And Kaapo Kakkonen played really well for them. So they actually got the goaltending in that game, and they still lost. So the 5-on-5 numbers are almost a mirage with this team at this point, because I just don't trust them at all. They're now banged up on the blue line even further. So, yeah, if the Devils are our favorite, especially if they're like a chunky favorite, if they're taking on one of the teams in like the lower rung of, you know, the Eastern Conference or Western Conference, I'd be betting against them considerably, because they just haven't showed us anything to make us confident. I mean, even that win over the Flyers in the Stadium Series, you thought, okay, that's the Devils team we've been waiting for. They were really good in that game. They were really sharp, and there was nothing after that. There was nothing. So they're a mess. You should bet them as such.
And when you look at Buffalo, Nick mentioned it, they may not be for real, but they're back in the equation after a romp of a victory at home against the Red Wings 7-3. And they play the Islanders on Thursday. A regulation win against the Islanders, not to look too far ahead, would draw them within 3 points of New York. So how are you approaching Buffalo? Are you just like fading them completely because you don't trust them? I wouldn't blame you to not trust them. But I like the overall impact of Bowen Byram, and you can hit on him too in the props market right now.
Yeah, so the Sabres are an interesting team. Actually, the Islanders and Sabres both have morphed into two very different teams than what we saw. In the Islanders' case, what we saw earlier this season, and in the Sabres' case, kind of what we expected to see going into the year. Like, this was a high-event Sabres team last year, scoring tons of goals, giving up chances the other way, betting on their young skill players to get them over the line, score enough that their defensive flaws weren't a huge problem. And now you look at them, they're playing a much more low-event style of hockey. They're basically splitting high-danger scoring chances against their limiting their expected goals are way down, and you look at their 5-on-5 goals against per 60 minutes, it's under 2. It's like around 1.7 since the All-Star break, or 1.8, and that is because of UPL playing really well in goal, and I think also that they're just focusing on shutting games down, and they realize that they can't just keep trading chances with teams game in and game out, especially teams that have skills. So this Islander-Sabres game is really interesting from a tactical perspective, because obviously Patrick Waugh has taken this Islander team and reimagined it almost in a way that when Barry Trotz took over, you know, the Islanders were the worst defensive team under Doug Weight the season before, and then became one of the best the next season. And Waugh's done that in a month, where the Islanders are now giving up fewer high-danger scoring chances than any team in the NHL, fewer expected goals than any team in the NHL at 5-on-5 since he's come. So this feels like a decent bet bet the overtime in a 60-minute game, because it's going to play like a playoff game. The Sabres, of course, like I know the Sabres are chasing the Islanders, but getting a point out of this isn't a huge deal when you consider they're also chasing Detroit, Tampa Bay, Philly, depending on how the Metro race shakes out. Mm-hmm. So this is one that I could see being almost akin to what the Islanders played against the Kings the other night. Very little space, a lot of tight checking. both teams looking to keep things tidy in their own zone and hope their goalie just makes enough saves to get them one or two points. So yeah, I want to say that the Sabres are a good team to bet to make the playoffs, but with the way that they play, like they're going to turn these games into playoff games, if that makes sense, right? They're gonna try to shut things down and still continue to trend towards an under team. They've been an under team this year. As long as UPL holds up, like this team should continue to be, you know, unders and overtime bets down the stretch.
I'm a big dog guy, not only in real life, but also betting-wise, boys. Lieboff, any dogs that you like down the stretch in terms of keeping things close or providing a lot of value for bettors?
Yeah, I think the Montreal Canadiens have been really interesting of late. The results might not be there, but if you look at their underlying numbers, they're marginally getting better. Like basically every week you see them take another step forward, especially defensively. And because they aren't winning at an impressive clip at all, I don't think that the market has taken too much notice, but they are improving. They're getting better. They're getting better against, you know, they're doing it against some good teams. So I think that the Canadians, especially as big underdogs, are going to continue to pay off. This is a young team that's been together. They know where they're going into the summer. I think that they'll want to finish strong and try to carry some momentum into the next season as well. I think that at some point we're going to see a little bit of a dead cat bounce from the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, you know, I think we've probably hit the bottom of the market after they lost to the Senators the other night. So the Rangers are playing the Penguins on Saturday. I think you're going to catch a pretty big number on a Penguins team that, you know, should give the Rangers at least a game and play to that number. It'll be pretty big. So they're certainly one, that I have circled because I'm ready to buy back in on Pittsburgh. And Columbus continues to be a team that I want to bet when they're big underdogs. They haven't given up at all. And I know that a couple players have come out of the lineup since the trade deadline, and Ken Johnson's hurt again and whatever. But the way that Elvis Merzlikins has played for the majority of the season gives them a shot most nights. I think that they have enough skill to give teams problems. And I don't suspect that they're just going to play out the string either.
You guys want a tasty shot prop that I've been playing like the last 2 weeks? It's so absurd and random, but Alex Nylander over 2.5 plus money every night. He's hit a 4 or 5, 10 shots on goal in the last two games. They got Ottawa and San Jose coming up, Pete, so I like that shot prop right now.
Yeah, and keep an eye on some other guys. Logan Stankoven has gone quiet, but not in the shots department. He has multiple shots on goal in 7 of his first 9 NHL games and has 8 points in 9 games, so he keeps, you know, finding ways to be productive for Dallas. Brian Russ came back from injury. Keep an eye on him for shots. 6 and 7 in the first 2 games back. That's 13 total. Bowen Byram, 11 shots on goal in his first 3 games with Buffalo, including 4 points and 3 goals. So really making a big impact there. And then, Mike, let us know some of your spots the upcoming week. I know the Russian guy for the Minnesota Wild could make his debut as early as Thursday. I know he's boys with Kaprizov, so that should be interesting. I can't pronounce his name, though, if I tried.
The Russian guy.
Yeah, just looking ahead to this week, I think that, you know, I'm really interested to see where the line closes for Detroit's game against Arizona more than anything. I want to see I don't know if there's going to be a way to bet it, but with the way Detroit's going, we talked about this during their hot streak. Like, they were getting absurd goaltending from a goalie, Alex Lyon, who has shown flashes before, obviously, but do you trust him to take what was a great, you know, 20 game sample and turn it into a 41 game sample? You know, it's hard to project that out and be confident in it. But if Arizona gets to a big number, I think that I'll have some interest in them because I feel like a lot of people will just be betting into a get right spot for Detroit. And it is, by definition, is one. It's at home. You know, the fans are going to be backing them to get over the line against a team that they just lost to, that they shouldn't lose to, a team that's been depleted by injuries and by trades at this point. So I actually think that we could catch a much bigger than expected number on Arizona on Thursday night. So I'll be looking there. The Lightning Rangers game is also interesting. Just seeing the early numbers being priced that the Rangers are a slight underdog, I think that's wrong. So if the Rangers do close as an underdog, I would bet them. I think that the Lightning are kind of a poor man's version of the Rangers, right? Not great 5-on-5, relying on their special teams and goaltending and skilled players to bail them out in those situations. That said, I do think that Tampa did address a pretty big hole at the deadline with the Dumba and Duclair maybe don't move the needle like Jake Guentzel does, but their biggest problem this season has been depth, especially on the blue line, and they definitely improved that. So Tampa, I think, will start to marginally improve over the rest of the season. So that's something to keep an eye on, though I will likely be going against them on Thursday night. And the Washington Capitals are in Edmonton on Wednesday night, and then they go to Vancouver on Saturday. Washington, Spencer Carberry deserves a ton of credit, I think, for a few things. One, obviously, keeping them in the race, but he doesn't have them playing a game where they'll get found out, right? This is a team that goes into every game knowing that they're likely to have a lot, they'll be deficient in the talent department, so that requires them playing a pretty detail-oriented defensive game, limit chances, keep things predictable, and hope that you guys just get the one more save or one more scoring chance at the other team or convert that scoring chance. And that makes them dangerous, and I think they're going to be a pretty big number, especially if they get pasted in Edmonton on Wednesday night. So against a Vancouver team that I still think is a little overvalued, so I would look for them there. I know it's a tough back-to-back before that. Like, it'll be the third and four because they play Seattle, I think, on Thursday night. But that's a spot I'm looking at because I think you'll catch a pretty big number on Washington, and they could come into that game, losing three or four in a row, whatever it would be.
Couple things for me on Wednesday's card. You mentioned the game against Edmonton. I like McDavid over a point and a half. I think I got it at -120. Tyler Toffoli, if you can find that shot prop at 2.5 as they take on the Nashville Predators. Another random shot prop I've been hitting a lot on lately. Bobby McMahon with the Toronto Maple Leafs on the third line over 2.5 shots on goal on Thursday against Philadelphia. I would play that. And Pete, we're also looking forward to a couple of premier matchups. We got Carolina, Florida. We got the Buffalo Islanders game coming up on Thursday too, right?
Right, and look for the unders in those games. Now that Freddie's back, we know Kochetkov has been a shutout machine over the past two seasons, right, guys? And the Ranger-Canes game was 1-0 against, obviously a loss for Carolina. But remember a couple weeks back, they beat the Panthers 1-0. In a crazy low scoring game as well. So the under trend is going to be big with that possession style for the Hurricanes down the stretch and into the postseason as well.
Looking forward to it. Leboff, anything cooking on line change these days?
Just the regular Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday cadence from us. I think we'll probably expand that as we get into the playoffs. We'll have every playoff game covered from our podcast. We'll do a playoff preview. We'll talk about, those Conn Smythe futures, etc. as well. So just keep an eye out for that and for Nick and Tim on Twitter, etc., because they're doing some pretty good work.
Sounds good. And make sure to look out on Thursday for the next waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Shout out to producer Bob Bender as well. For Pete Jensen and Michael Leboff, I'm Nick Alberga. This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.